Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to an actual Friday After Work podcast that you're probably listening to on Friday After Work.
Fitting.
Yeah, like, did we used to do it on Fridays? Oh, that sounded bad.
We always do it on Fridays.
Did we used to record on Fridays?
I think we probably did.
Did we always record on Thursdays and it was posted on
Fridays? I bet we recorded on Fridays and then Gray probably bitched about it or something and we switched it up. That's my guess.
That seems pretty normal.
You know.
Guys, I got men's league. I got men's league on Friday afternoon.
Gray was sending fake news about you on our Slack the other day.
Oh yeah, he's been trying for years to get others to adopt Slack. We never have. He raves about it. What do I want to know? What the fake news was?
Something about how he always hears from people about how much they miss him on the podcast, and that you tell him that you miss him on the podcast all the time in private and stuff.
Yeah, that would be 100% fake news.
I knew.
Yeah, I've never uttered those words. You know, hey, Gray's a good guy. I see him from time to time. Rumor has it he's been spending a lot of time up in Eastern Iowa.
Eastern Iowa now?
Yeah, I think.
Is he a Hawk?
Apparently he was down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, he was for a while.
But as you know, Greg's kind of like a polo wearing type of guy. So they probably kicked him out of there. Now he's up in the northeast side of the state.
He wouldn't fit well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a friendly guy, but they could tell he's got yuppie suburbanite written all over him. I don't think that would play well. I worry about my first trip to Clarinda as well. I don't know if they'll kick me out of the shittily.
No, you won't get kicked out.
That's nice.
You may get some looks. They're going to be like, who's this guy? Who's this city slicker? Why is he wearing a tight V-neck T-shirt?
You know what's funny?
Like, his shirt size is too small for him.
Why we don't accept mediums in this town? I've never been to Clarinda, but I have been to another town often because I had a college roommate that lived in Rockwell. And Rockwell reminds me of what Clarinda is probably like.
A lot. I know. Rockwell City?
No. Rockwell. There's a Rockwell City in Rockwell. So Rockwell is probably about 15 minutes south of Mason City.
Oh, okay. I've never been there.
They have a little 9-hole course up there. We'd go up there many times during the summer and play. It's the type of town where you drive the golf cart around.
Oh, yeah.
They've got one grocery store that's, you know, owned by someone in the town, and they have good cheese balls at the diner next door.
Yeah.
That you would love it there.
Yeah. Sounds like my kind of place.
It sounds like home, what home probably is. And I like spending time up there. It was fun. So if I dug that, I'd probably like Clarinda for an afternoon.
You'd love Clarinda.
Good people down there, I hear.
Oh, the best.
Salt of the earth.
If you went down to Clarinda, like my dad would... I remember the first time that Gray came with me.
Yeah.
It was on a Iowa State bye week, and we went down and played in a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Bloom and Gray and me and my brother-in-law played in it. And I remember there being – it was halftime of the football game we were watching, and Gray and my dad disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my dad taking Gray on a tour around town.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't come back until like 5 minutes to go in the fourth
quarter. Was this in a vehicle or a golf cart?
This was in a vehicle because we're not that small.
So people don't drive golf carts around.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of like a town the size of like Slater.
Rockwell's tiny, by the way.
Yeah, so Clarinda, I mean, people drive around in golf carts.
Yeah.
But you usually stick to your neighborhood. Like, we're bigger than that.
And to be fair...
We have 5,000 people.
To be fair, I own a golf cart, and I drive it around my own neighborhood in Ankeny. So I guess
it could happen
anywhere.
Up in your side of town, people do that all the time.
Well, yeah. You know, if you got the golf cart, you got to put it to use. I'm looking forward to it. So we actually have to do that, and we need to do
murder?
Yeah, we need to do that.
We just need to go on a Friday, just each take a Friday off.
Yep.
And we'll head down at a decent time in the morning. We'll stop at the Axe Murder House on the way.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play golf in Clarinda that night or that afternoon.
Yep.
And then we'll do the Shittily D experience that night.
What do you drink at the Shittily D?
Just Busch Light.
Busch Light. That's it. How many beers do they have there?
On tap, they only got Busch.
Okay.
I don't even know if they have it on tap anymore.
Any bottles or all cans?
Yeah, they do it. So then they'll bring, like, they don't even have, like, a distributor come.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to, like, Hy-Vee
and buys it.
Yeah. And he buys, like, we'll get some Smirnoff for the ladies.
He's probably not crushing it on profit margin going that route. I think he'd probably do a little bit better with the distributor.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's changed, but I know back in the day that's how it was done.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, and then they installed a slow pitch softball field right behind the Shittily D, so you get the boys out there playing softball, and then they come in and
get drunk.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Go do it. When was the last time you played softball? Have you ever played softball?
Yeah, I played slow pitch during college.
Did you? It's and fun. I wish I was playing.
I was in a league in Bondurant for a while, and then it is fun. I can't handle the douchebags who think it's like the World Series. Like I grew so tired, I couldn't do it anymore. I'm like, get a life, you morons.
I played, this was after college, and I was playing up in Ames in a league, and it wasn't fast pitch, it was slow pitch softball, but yes, a lot of people take it seriously. And there was a game where I was running, trying to beat a throw to second. I went in hard at second and slid. Wearing sweatpants.
Did that start a fight?
But no, I didn't start a fight, but I slid. I immediately,
that's a bitch move, Mark.
I immediately thought to myself, ow, is what I thought.
Yeah.
And I got up and pulled up my pant leg, and I had one of those massive raspberries all the way down the outside of my calf. It was on the lower side. That thing like pussed and bled for like 3 weeks. And after that, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, why am I sliding? What's the importance of this?
Last time I played, I got, we were in a co-ed league in Bondurant, which is very non-competitive.
Yeah.
And some douchebag slid into, my wife is a terrible athlete,
mm-hmm.
and she knows it, and she just does it for the social aspect.
I like how poorly you speak about her on this podcast.
I
know she never listens.
She's not a good athlete.
Saying, my wife, she's no longer attracted to me. my wife, last time I had intercourse was the Obama era. She sucks at sports.
She does suck at sports.
I never see her. She's not around.
She's smart. That's why she's not good at sports, because she spent all of her time studying. That's why she has doctor in front of her name.
It's probably true.
Yeah. But anyways, some jackass slid into her in a freaking co-ed, mush ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm out. And then I subbed on the men's league, and there was like a fight. There's an actual fist fight between guys. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
It's their only chance for certain people to you know, be macho. Like, oh, I'm a
slow pitch softball.
I'm a tough guy. Well, they get into their cups, and they look forward to it all week long, and they come out and you know, it's the mob mentality. They got their teammates on their side, and it's like, I've seen it too. It's stupid. Like,
yeah,
I've never been one of those guys. I look at that and think, you're being really dumb.
Yeah.
Right now, for sure. What are you fired up?
Well,
about?
It's same with these like men's basketball leagues that are around.
Yeah,
I would love to play in one
of those. Push and shoving matches.
Yeah, because like I really enjoy basketball. It's like it's my favorite sport to play. It always has been.
Yeah.
It's one of the sports that I'm decent at. Yeah. Like I can actually go out there and compete. And I'm,
yeah.
But like every time I've done it, it turns into like these middle-aged dudes acting like absolute morons getting in fist fights.
Ticky-tack stuff.
Yeah, like I don't have time for it.
What do you think about call your own foul guy? Usually those leagues, a lot of them you do call your own foul, but there's the guy that like you touch him, it's a foul. He's constantly getting hacked every time.
It's not sustainable.
You know?
Yeah, it's just like, not
really?
A sustainable
really,
league.
Dude?
Yeah.
How come I can go three full games and never call one foul on myself and you're calling him every time you go into the lane?
I even played in my church league one time and it got a little chippy.
Yeah, I've been there too, man.
Yeah.
I've done that. Like, didn't we pray before this?
Yeah. And then, like,
what's happening here?
All the Jesus stuff is just gone once that tip is made.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I've definitely. People, you know, sports, though, like them or hate them, I guess it brings out something.
Does this say something about me, though, that I'm so. And that's. I'm very competitive when it comes to, like, work. Yeah. I'm competitive about other things, like I'm competitive with myself when it comes to like investing,
yeah,
stuff like that. But like I can't take like side sports seriously.
Well,
it's
because that you're competitive with things that matter, right? Your job matters because it's how you feed your family, and you're in a competitive business, etc. At the end of the day, does it matter at all if you win your church league softball game?
No, it doesn't.
Right? It doesn't matter.
Nothing.
So a lot of people, though, they just, for whatever reason, place a ton of importance on that. I've never once, I played for several years, I couldn't even come close to telling you what the record was for the team and those things. I went out and my own personal goal was, if I'm in the outfield, I want to catch every ball that comes my way. If I'm in the infield, I want to make every out I can. If I'm up to bat, I want to smack the crap out of the ball. That's what I cared about. That's fun for me,
yeah,
you know, to compete with yourself.
Absolutely.
But as a team, hell no, dude. Like, how many times did you practice as a team in church league days? Like 3-4 times a week?
They would
no.
want, well, sometimes, like, the guys would do it.
A lot of times zero for those teams, right?
But the softball,
yeah,
that I was doing there for a while, they were like staging practices on like Sunday afternoons, and I was like,
and maybe you'd show up, maybe you wouldn't, but the point is, like, how good can you expect to be as a team if you're not putting in a lot of time?
Correct.
Right? So,
especially a team sport like basketball.
I've never cared at all. So it's fun, though. I need to play softball. I'm sponsoring a team. Did you know this?
Yeah, because they reached out to me, too. And I think they reached out to us both at the same time, and you got back to them sooner. Because then when I got back to them, they're like, oh, Mark's already doing it. So I did know that. But that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, a podcast listener reached out, Adrian, and said, hey, do you want to sponsor our softball team? And I said, yeah, sure. I'll do that. Apparently, I have an open invite to go play whenever I want to. Haven't taken them up on
that. Well, where is this league at?
It's in Ankeny. So, okay. Yeah, so I could do it. I just don't want to wreck their flow. I don't know how yeah. good they
what
are.
What position would you be, ideally?
You know what? So growing up, and I was good, Williams. I was a center fielder. You know, speed and
I
all that.
I can see that. Get with you.
And I was good. I you know.
You ran a 3.940.
3.940. Caught everything. Threw everybody out. I could throw flat-footed from the warning track in center field just to strike. Not even air on the ball, just a line drive 400 feet into the plate. And you know
you're
it's
true. You're like a Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, you know it's true. So, but what happened is, as you get older, your eyesight starts to go a little bit. And it gets much tougher to judge fly balls accurately when your vision is not as good anymore.
Man, and then
that's where I'm at.
There's something about it, too, where the older you get and the less you practice, like, watching that yeah. ball come off of the bat.
Oh, yeah.
You lose that muscle memory on how
oh, yeah.
to do that.
People that have never played outfield, they say, oh, they make it look easy. It's not. The hardest thing about playing outfield is judging if it's short or long. You know, do I go in on this? Do I go back? And with practice, you get better. But what's tough, and what my dad taught me a lot growing up, was run to the spot. So that's why you don't see a lot of outfielders in the majors tracking a ball the whole way up. You know, they see where it's going. They run to the spot. They look back up and find it. Because what you notice is if you're running and tracking a ball as it goes, the ball is bouncing, and that makes it really, really tough to catch. So, and I teach my 7-year-old this now: get to the spot, then look up and catch the ball. It's a lot better. But all these things that I learned from my dad and playing for years is now coming back because my kid's 7 and I'm a coach on his team. It's amazing.
Oh, you're coaching now?
Yeah, it's amazing how terrible most 7-year-olds are.
Oh yeah.
I thought they'd be a little bit better.
No, they're really bad.
Yeah, they are.
I ran the Little League program in Clarinda for a couple summers, and like what's really crazy is just the difference between, because you had like the first graders and then you have the sixth graders,
yeah.
and just like watching them progress year to year and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really
here's the tough question.
It's really fun.
So I won't certainly not going to throw out names of a 6 or 7-year-old, but what would you do in this situation?
Okay,
I'm not the manager. I'm like the assistant. I'm the coach. So it's not my call, regardless. But I noticed we got a kid on our team.
So you're the first base coach. You don't get third?
Wherever I want is fine. So there's a kid on our team, though. We just started practicing. And you notice, and there's usually one of these, but in our case, particularly bad. There's a kid that has nothing to do with talent level. We had him out at shortstop during a practice. And the whole time, he's trying to bury one of his feet in sand and dirt with his other foot. And between every single pitch, we're telling this kid, pay attention, ready position, baseball position, watch the batter, refusing to do it. So looking straight down at shortstop the entire time, looking out towards the outfield, etc. So my question is, if you're the coach, at what point, if ever, do you go to the parent and say, listen, parent, this is a bit of a liability at this point. Your child is literally not paying any attention to the batter at all. And if a ball gets hit to them, they're going to get hit with the ball.
Well, that would be my fear.
Do you have that discussion? Or you just say, hey,
yeah, I would talk,
not my problem.
I would talk to mom and dad, and I would get him the hell out of shortstop.
Outfield, as far away as possible.
I would put him in right field.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're trying to be mean. It's for the kids' safety.
I mean, the parent can see it, too, because parents are at these practices watching, too. It's like, they're not looking.
I would talk to mom and dad.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, this is nothing. We're not out for blood here. We don't want him to get hurt.
Yeah.
And if he's, like, we're trying to get him to pay attention so he can protect himself, because at the end of the day, you're talking to him about protecting himself. It's not like you're trying to win the World Series here.
Or we're not even trying to get him to field the ball. It's just look at the plate.
Well, and what could happen, too, is the kid could get jacked in the face, and then he's never going to want to go out there again.
Yeah. So
at that age, like, if they get scarred.
Yeah, so that's tough, because it's like you.
But then some mom and dads are idiots, though, Mark.
You think they're going to get mad about it?
Some would. Absolutely. I mean, I've done this Little League thing. I did it a long time.
Yeah.
Some parents are total idiots, and they'll, like, resent it, and they'll try and blame you. I would guess. What kind of a league is this? Is this just Ankeny Little League?
It's Ankeny Little League. It's Coach Toss Little League. Yeah.
Man, I mean, if it's. Man, he could get hurt, though.
I know.
This isn't T-ball.
No. I mean, yes, for the most part, the kids aren't smoking the ball yet, but there are kids that do. There are kids that do.
Yeah, I would get him in right field, and I would go and have a talk with mom and dad. And don't be confrontational about it, but just be like, hey, we don't want him to get hurt.
And I think you're right. Hey, we have a potential safety issue to talk about. So
yeah, be like, we've tried for 2 weeks to get him to pay attention. He won't.
Yep.
So we're going to put him in right field until he, like, unless you have a better idea, you're his parents, you know him better than we do. We're looking out for the betterment of him.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. I agree with you. But again,
what does the manager think?
We haven't talked about it.
You want me to talk to him?
Yeah. Obviously, he's very aware of what's going on, too. He sees the same things I see. It's early enough where we're, like, not that concerned about it. But the other thing, too, is, they're young, but in a case like that, okay, the child seems like they have no interest being out there at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 100% on the parent saying, get your butt out, you're playing baseball? I mean, you want the kids, as they get older, to have a desire to play, right?
Yeah.
So, not I'm going to be like, your kid doesn't seem to want to be out here, so leave, but I'm also like, do they want to be here?
That's why you just put them in right field.
Yeah.
Because the kid doesn't want to be there. He has zero interest in it.
Seems that way.
It seems like mom and dad are, and I'll do the same thing with my daughter won't be an athlete. She just, I can tell you that right now. I can tell by the way she walks. but I'll put her out there until she tells me she hates it, because it's good for her to get exercise. And at least she's not staring at an iPad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
This is the other thing I was curious about. And Ben's sitting across the table from us. His daughters are really good at softball. And I'm going to say something here because I'm curious of your take. This is 100% not meant to be sexist. So anyone listening, this is not my point here.
If you have to say that, it's probably somewhat sexist.
It's not. My question is. So
it's kind of like when you start a sentence with all due respect.
Yeah, I know. We've got two girls on our team.
Okay.
That's fine.
On
the baseball team.
Okay.
One of them, the other day, I was holding the hit stick, the stick that they just swing at. This one girl was smoking the ball. All right. She was hitting it harder than any of the boys were hitting it. Kind of looks athletic, right? Doing a real great job. I'm like, whoa. I wasn't expecting it, okay? And my question is, if you're a parent and you've got a daughter, et cetera, and you just said she sucks and it's not going to play anything, which is fine.
No, she's going to try.
But my point is, why...
She's only three. I don't know.
And I could ask the parents this. Why are some parents putting their daughters in Little League baseball when Ankeny has a fully developed softball league?
I don't know.
I'm just curious about this. If you have some insight.
I don't understand that. I don't think that's sexist.
I'm just, is there a problem with softball?
Did the girls play softball too?
I don't know how they'd have time to do both, honestly. I mean, that would be tough to do.
I don't know. I don't have a reason why I would put let's say my kid's a stud.
Yeah.
I don't know why I would put her in baseball. I can't think of a valid reason.
That's what I'm trying to think of, a valid reason. Maybe somebody listening has one.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like the coach in the softball league, or I don't know what it is. But it's fine that they're out there. I'm not saying it's not fine.
The problem is these girls are seven?
Six or seven. Yep.
A lot of times I've heard girls develop faster than boys.
Yeah.
I guess my issue with it would be, and I'm not trying to tell these people how to parent, I'm just looking for this girl's future. You might stint her growth as a softball player going forward. She has a better opportunity to be a really good softball player than she will baseball when all those boys are developed.
Yeah.
You know, men are different than women as far as how they are built.
Typically speaking, a six-year-old girl might kick a six-year-old boy's butt, but a typical 16-year-old yes. girl doesn't kick a 16-year-old male's butt.
That is my point.
Science.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. That is my point. So yeah. my deal is like, oh, it may be fun for her to play baseball now.
Yeah.
But if she softball's different, man. Like we had a really good pitcher.
Literally.
Yeah, you like know? But like
the ball's bigger and
How that, you know, the distance from the mound to yep. home plate.
Flat mound versus
how that ball comes out like from the bottom compared to the overhand thing.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like I have a ton of respect for a really good softball because it's when I used to do a lot of play-by-play, that was one of my favorite sports. I would never want to call baseball. High school baseball games are trash
yeah.
for the most part. Yeah. Like, they're horrible to call. Mm-hmm. But I would sign up for a softball game any day. They move fast. It's, you know, it's a more exciting. You got steals all the time. Like
they have cheers?
Yeah,
after,
absolutely. You've got the cheerleading going on.
That's great. I like it. Oh, so I was going to ask you about, because I have no idea what you've been doing on Twitter all week, but
I'll tell you about Twitter all week.
I caught wind of it. You've been doing some logo trolling.
Yeah, I have.
What happened here? I heard Jay Burke is pissed.
Yeah, Jay Burke was firing off tweets at me the other day. So Jared was just screwing around the other day and messing with our Cyclone Fanatic. He didn't even mess with the logo.
Yeah.
He put the same logo with a circle around it with a black background.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, you can imagine the backlash of the Facebook crowd. You got to look like the damn Hawks.
And anytime you change anything.
Jeez. Why is that? And it's a small, small portion, but why is that portion of the fan base so obsessed with Iowa?
I don't know.
Does Iowa own the color black, for God's sakes? It's the background of a logo.
Yeah.
And you would have thought...
Well, you were doing a combo of black and yellow, man.
You would have thought that we had changed the CF to the freaking Tiger Hawk and put it up on the internet. It was... So, I told Jared, I'm like, hey, just make me like the same logo, but don't put any Iowa State colors in it. Just make me one for every day this week,
yeah.
And I'm going to post new ones. And like... 99.9% of the people like totally are in on it and they think it's funny. And like we've had a couple other guys who are like sending us their own logos and it's really fun and cool. And
I saw one that was on the like the Avengers.
Yeah,
shield,
it looked awesome.
Which was kind of cool.
It looked awesome. And like everybody's having fun with it and everybody's just, it's something to do in the middle of April that is
yep.
keeping people occupied. It's fun.
Yep.
But then it's just like the anger that insanely vocal minority.
How dare you?
Oh my God!
I'm looking at it right now. It's kind of looks like military.
Yeah, I got the camo one
right
going
now.
On right now.
That's
yeah.
kind of fun.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah. What's he using for this? Just
Photoshop.
Photoshop.
Yeah. Photoshop.
What's been your favorite? Was it the skull? Yellow and purple one.
My favorite was the one that the guy sent me. It's the red CF with the thunderstorm in the background.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
It's like the storm is brewing one.
Yeah.
I liked that one a lot. I thought that was pretty sweet.
There's no reason you guys can't tweak your logo from time to time.
Hey. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll put it this way. I appreciate the fact that people care about our brand enough to care. But like a lot of these people on Facebook, it started. Yeah, that one's hilarious.
Did you like that one?
The one where the guy's taking a dump on our logo.
Taking a dump on the logo. Creative people out there.
I got a funny text from, I don't want to say who, but somebody up at Iowa State, and they're like, see, now you know what we deal with all the time.
That's the Captain America one. Or
yeah,
Avengers.
That's freaking
that one's
awesome.
Really cool.
That's awesome, yeah.
I like that
So,
one.
Like, I told Jared we should create, like, a catalog of these.
Yeah.
Different colors for, like, all the different teams and stuff.
Yeah.
And people could choose, like, which ones they want, and they could put it up on their, like, avatar on the website.
I like that.
Yeah, but, like, it...
Pink and green one I'm not in
most,
love with.
You didn't like the watermelon one?
No. It does look like watermelon.
I love the watermelon one.
Yeah. Not my fave.
I had my Oklahoma City Thunder
I like the Thunder.
Yeah. That was my favorite one.
That looked good.
I might have to move back to that one tonight for the big game. But anyways, the only people I was trolling was the people who actually cared.
Yeah.
Because like... They acted like we made this like For one, we didn't even change our logo. Like, yeah, the CF has been the same thing since 2005 when Jeremy started the site.
Same thing.
Like, it's literally never changed. Mm-hmm. Jared just happened to put a black background behind it. And what these people don't realize, too, Mark, like, when you first started on doing this with us, our background of our website was black.
That wasn't?
Yeah, we had black borders on Cyclone Fanatic.
I would have never joined if I knew that. What are you doing?
But I just, like, do you get it, though? Like, I went on a rant about this on KXNO. You know, like, the problem is these, like, the people who get upset about this don't even represent the fan base.
Yeah.
It's such a minute number of people. But it comes off as, like, and it's only the people who are talking about Iowa. This is the only people I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, do you think, this is my point, when Matt Campbell, all he wears, when you see Matt Campbell, you will never see him unless it's on the sideline where he's required to wear something.
Yep.
He will never wear Cardinal and gold. Hmm. He wears black Iowa State gear constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know why? Because he likes the color black. He thinks it looks sleek.
Well, the players, who the hell looks good in gold? Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
So my point is, when Matt Campbell goes up on his Monday press conference and he's wearing an all black Iowa State polo and all black pants and black shoes, do you think he gives a damn what Kirk Ferentz might think or what, oh, these are Hawkeye color? No.
Nope.
Quit thinking like that.
Things oftentimes are what you read into them to be. That's it. You know, if you give no credence to the fact that Iowa is the team that wears black, then who gives a crap? You know, Iowa State can wear black. I mean, Oregon's not black. They probably had black unis before and looked fine. I mean, we're in a new era when it comes to design and look. It's kind of anything goes. The blackout look is popular with a lot of schools.
It's just an alternate thing, too. You're not changing your school colors. That's what people don't understand.
Well, black's not an Iowa State color. No, but neither is a lot of what we've been
Neither
wearing.
Was – remember gray, when we had blue?
I don't
blue?
Think gray is.
Remember
is
the atrocious blue that they brought in the late 90s?
Yeah. Blue became prevalent for a little while.
My God. Like, it. And I talked to Lizard and Lanning about this the other day. We did another podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, here's the deal at the end of the day, and this is what I want people to realize, that this is all recruiting.
Yeah.
That's literally all this is.
Yeah.
They are doing this for recruiting purposes. And Lanning said on the podcast, he's like, I'm so pissed that I'm not going to be able to wear the black uniforms.
Yeah.
Joel Lanning is a fifth-year senior who's going to be in the NFL next year, and he thinks it's awesome. What do you think of the 18-year-old with zero perspective on life is going to think about it?
They're
going to
love it.
So, like, I know you're proud of Iowa State, and you're proud to be an Iowa Stater, and that's awesome. Iowa State wouldn't be what it is without the longtime diehard fans. The school colors haven't gone anywhere. You just need to evolve a little bit and realize they're not doing this to appease 65-year-olds in Section B.
I like the fact that things are evolving. I will continue to stay on record, and I think we're not going to see it a lot. The Bugle. Bugle's snack food logo that we came up with is terrible.
See, I have a theory on that, too.
I've seen way better than that.
No, I agree. Yeah. There are better. Here's my theory on that. Had they rolled that out on, like, a white helmet or a black helmet.
It was red on red, right?
I think had they rolled that out with a different color of helmet, there. Now, granted, I still think it would have been unpopular because, like you said, there are better Cyclones out there. Yeah. However, I thought it looked so bad on the red background.
Terrible.
Because, like, I've seen, like, up at the bookstore and stuff, they have that logo on, like, a black shirt or a gray shirt, and it looks cool.
Looks a lot better.
Like, I'd actually, like, I want to buy some.
Yeah.
I think it just looked terrible on the red.
I just hate it when somebody does something and then everybody says, pretty universally, people said, that's terrible. And then the school comes out and says, we're keeping it. It's done. It's like, listen to the people that are going to buy the stuff, right? I think it's important. I got a question for you last night. So I'm on record as being a little bit tickled by this. As I sit across, as I sit across from a Hawk fan here, not you, someone else,
Vincey.
I don't even know what it's called. What's it called? Like when Iowa State signs the new recruit, and then they got like the picture with him on it and stuff. It's obviously a picture, but it's not a GIF. It's something else.
A meme.
Whatever. Okay, let's call it a meme, right? I know for sure that the powers that be over at Iowa, the art department, et cetera, had stuff ready to go for their Twitter account talking about another number one pick for the Hawks or maybe two number one picks for the Hawks. I was chuckling to myself that they didn't get to use any of that crap last night.
Oh, you didn't want them to get
I was actually happy that they didn't get any first-round picks because in recruiting, they can say, listen, we're the home of now 19 first-round picks or whatever. And last night, they couldn't add to that at all.
Yeah.
And that made me happy.
Dude.
Am I a bad person for being happy about
that? No, because it's a rivalry.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you hate Iowa. That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's bad. Now, I do think that as an Iowa State fan, we have to be careful about talking any sort of smack about first-round draft
picks. Oh, yeah, because they're going to say, you've never had any.
We haven't had one since 1973.
Yeah, I get it.
However, does that mean that you're a bad person? No, it means you're a diehard fan and you dislike your rival.
Did you feel bad for Josh Jackson having been there and not getting called? How many guys do you think were there last night that didn't get to go up on stage?
I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5.
Not many.
Yeah, there's not many. It doesn't happen very often. Did I feel bad for him? Yeah, I did, just because there's just a human aspect of it where I feel like you can peel away the fact that he played for Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks to be on national television.
And nobody wants you, essentially.
I mean, the human aspect of it, I feel bad. Other than that, I know, because he's going to have a great NFL career. Like in fact, I was hoping the Vikings would consider him. They took another cornerback over him.
I think he will be gone in the top 4 picks tonight.
He's just, you know, oh, yeah. And I think the thing with him, he still hasn't played a lot of football.
Yeah.
You know, so like the Vikings, for instance, they needed a guy who they could plug in at nickel to play next year.
Yep.
And this kid that they took out of Central Florida has played for 4 years. He's just more NFL ready, where Jackson, I think, is probably more like a Trey Waynes type with the Vikings, who they had to develop him for a year or two before they could really throw him on the field a lot. So did I feel bad for him as a human? Yes. I echo your sentiment on the Iowa thing.
Yep.
And he'll be fine. He's going to make a lot of money.
He will. I'm curious. We rarely get your hot takes before you get a chance to go do them on your show, and this is one of those cases where we can get your draft takes.
Dude, I'll talk draft with you for hours.
Before you get go on the big show later today on 1460 KXNO.
This is the big show, Mark.
Well, there you go. So
This is more tenured than the radio show.
The biggest one, and I already know your feelings in general, because I think you tweeted to this effect, and I'm with you on this.
Baker.
Explain to me Baker at 1 when it seems like they could have gotten Barkley at 1 to have a great running back, right? I don't buy that the Jets or the Giants take Mayfield at 2 or 3.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, if the only reason they would do it is if they loved him so much and they didn't want to take any risk that they could miss out. Here's what I would have done. Couldn't you have traded out of that first pick and kept the 4? You take Baker there or Chubb there or whatever, and you add more picks to later on.
Yeah.
Or I would not have taken Barkley 1. He's a running back. I think running backs in the NFL.
It's a quarterback league.
If anything, I would have taken Chubb 1. So what they did, though, like, this is what I don't understand.
Or why didn't they take Chubb at 4?
I don't know. Here's what I don't understand, because they had the 1st and 4th pick.
Yeah.
And they got 2 undersized guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
They got a 5'10 cornerback, and they got Baker Mayfield as your quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, no, it could work out. I mean, maybe Baker is the next Brett Favre. I don't know. And I hope he is, because I love Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He interests me. I will root for the Browns because he plays for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm 99% sure that you're correct and that he would have been there at 4.
It seems that way. And Baker Mayfield, success, yes. Chip on the shoulder, yes. They kept making the Breeze comparison and the Russell Wilson comparison. Those are anomalies. Those are not.
Yeah.
Those are not standard.
You're exactly right.
The problem is you've got guys like Rosen, Allen, Darnold that fit the mold, right? And I think those guys can be a little bit subpar just because of their natural ability and still be serviceable and still be good for the team. Where somebody like Mayfield has to continually, always play so far above his head just to get to where he needs to be. Does that last?
I think that the big winner last night was Josh Rosen.
How so? Financially, no, but how so?
Yeah, I'm not financially. He'll make more because of it long term. Because
maybe long term, he makes like what $14 million less.
Josh Rosen,
the number one
in my mind, he was the best quarterback in the draft.
Did he hurt himself politically?
So yeah, and this is where I'm going with this. He's not a good fit everywhere.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have been a good fit in Cleveland. Yeah. You got a blue-collar community.
Yeah.
Like, they would have revolted against him the first time he said anything stupid, like, because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the Giants are crazy to have passed on him. I think that kid fits in New York. He can learn behind Eli Manning for a year. You got Pat Shurmur, a offensive.
You got to wonder what the backup plan for Eli Manning is at this point. Because next year, I don't think it's a QB rich draft. So beyond that, maybe.
But Rosen now, like, think about this. He goes to a team that's not, they're not terrible.
Yeah.
Arizona's not bad.
Yeah.
He gets to sit behind Sam Bradford, who.
Well, he gets to live in Arizona versus Cleveland.
Thank you.
And Buffalo,
exactly.
And some of these other places.
You're exactly right. Yeah. And Bradford's a great guy to learn behind.
Yeah.
And there's a decent chance Bradford will get hurt, and he'll be able to play earlier as well. Mm-hmm. With a better team around you, you've got Larry Fitzgerald to throw to.
Yep.
He's the winner. I thought going into it that he was – now, if I were the Browns, I would have taken Darnold.
Yeah.
Just because Darnold's this blue-collar, like
– Yep.
He's kind of a grinder. I feel like Cleveland would have really rallied behind him.
Yep.
But I'm with you, man. Try finding a bigger Baker Mayfield fan in the media than me. There's not many. I freaking love the kid.
It just seems like an incredible reach at one.
Well, it's like playing the stock market when you're making these draft picks, right? And you could have taken a really strong mutual fund with a great track record, and instead you went with a single company stock that's very volatile.
Yeah. Well, in hindsight too, and it could have played out differently, but if they had taken someone else at one, Giants clearly wanted a running back, so that only left the Jets to take somebody. I don't think they were taking Mayfield. So, yes, they could have got him at four.
God, would you have taken a running back?
No, because it's a quarterback league.
Yeah,
if you don't have a solid quarterback, and don't give me the Trent Dilfer argument, because that was one of the best defenses of all time.
Yeah, and that's like
you got to have a quarterback.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the thing though. So they took this corner, and he's good. Don't get me wrong, but if they would have taken Chubb, they could have had arguably the best outside pass rush in the NFL next year.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
with the kid that they got, I just don't know.
I think they blew it. It seems like just dysfunction, and everyone's talking about, oh, it's a new time in Cleveland, they got a new GM, etc. But sometimes suckage just runs in your DNA, and it seems like that's the Browns right now. It doesn't matter who's in charge. They still make stupid, terrible picks, and Mayfield might be good, but I would say there's a better chance that he won't pan out than he will long term. I don't see Baker Mayfield being the quarterback for the Browns in 10 years.
Well, I'll tell you this. So, did you hear Campbell on my show the other day?
No.
We brought him on as, like, draft analyst.
Yeah.
He actually did really good. We didn't talk about Iowa State at all.
Yep.
We just analyzed the NFL draft. And because he's a Browns fan.
Yep.
And he even said that he thought that Mayfield would struggle because of progressions and all that stuff, et cetera. But he also was clear about that he's a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I was talking with Matt yesterday, and this was before the Browns drafted him.
Yeah.
And he said that Baker's probably his favorite college quarterback of all time.
Oh, really?
Baker's probably my second.
Is it because of attitude and effort? I mean, the kid does well there.
He has a phenomenal story. Like, I don't think a lot – I think a lot of people, like – the Johnny Manziel stuff is so unfair. Baker was a walk-on – at a big 12
school. I think Baker's a hard worker and Johnny isn't.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah, and Baker works his ass off.
Yeah.
Like, he's got an attitude and all that stuff, but you kind of want your quarterback to be a dog, though.
I mean, it is an incredible story that the number one pick in the NFL draft had to walk on twice. That is rare, but that doesn't mean he should have been a number one pick.
No, I totally agree. I my point is this obvious, oh, he's a smaller white quarterback, so we're all going to compare him to Johnny Manziel, who's been one of the biggest disasters in the last however many years.
Yeah.
That's not fair to me. How Campbell told me that, like, and it's funny to watch these guys flip.
Mm-hmm.
Because, all these guys on Campbell's staff are all Browns fans.
Yep.
And they all wanted Darnold. And then they got Baker, and now they're all like, oh, yeah. Like, it's on. Bring it on.
Oh,
I want to wear a Baker Mayfield jersey around campus. Like, it's just funny, like, how fans do that.
Why are they, just out of curiosity, why are they all Browns fans and not Bengals fans? What's the proximity from where they were?
I honestly don't know.
I'm just curious why that is.
I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be tough to be a Browns fan. Did Campbell grow up one? Is that, he's always been?
Yeah, it's always been.
It's kind of like me and the Cubs. I had to like them when they sucked.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are all Indians. Cavs,
okay,
Browns.
That's Braun, Braun, Braun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good game the other night.
But anyways, I fully believe that they blew it last night, but I hope I'm wrong, because if I am, then that means that Baker will have a great career, and I love me some Baker Mayfield.
Is he going to start? Do you think this year? No chance.
The kid from Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor. Well,
even if there's no chance, Baker beats him out. It's a learning.
No chance.
Okay.
They brought him. That's actually one of the positives of the Baker Mayfield thing, is that he doesn't have to play right away.
Yeah. Well, like I said, time will tell on these things. We don't know. But, you know, is he in the next Drew Brees? Maybe.
He could be. I hope he is.
He could light it up. Well, it's bringing it back to Iowa State real quick. Fresh, updated picks on Lazard and Lannon. What is your take on those guys?
I think they'll both go on Saturday. Yeah. I bet Lazard will be like in the fourth round.
So you're predicting Lannon does go in the draft?
I think Lannon will get drafted.
Yeah. You know what's interesting?
He told me he thinks that he won't, but I think he's being humble. I think somebody will take a flyer on him because of his versatility, I think. And I bet he's like a seventh-round pick.
You can make the argument that the famous award, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft, is irrelevant. But I was looking at that list, and literally you can pick a guy that wins you games at that position. The one that jumped out to me was Ryan Sukup, the Chiefs kicker, now the Titans kicker, who's one of the most accurate of all time.
Oh, he was Mr. Irrelevant?
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
I didn't know that.
Last pick of the draft.
Interesting.
So you can get a good player there.
You should go back, if you have free time this weekend, and listen to the pod that I did with them this week. Because
I feel like you did like three of them.
I did, because those guys were so bored. They didn't have anything to do other than they just wanted to keep coming back and doing podcasts. And I'm watching the numbers, and like, people clearly
liked
it.
I saw Lannon.
So I'm like, okay, come on back.
Wrestling.
So Lannon wanted to, because he apparently has listened before when we get going on conspiracy theories and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to talk conspiracy theories.
Okay.
So we talked ghosts, conspiracy theories, aliens for like 45 minutes.
Is he of your ilk? He's on your side of the table?
I think he's a little bit beyond me.
Oh, really?
Apparently, the Mr. Lannon is a big alien guy. So much so, Joel said when they were in Lubbock last year, his parents drove to Area 51 to tour it. Yeah, nice. To do some investigating on the aliens.
Well, I hope that they both go. It would be nice, obviously. Lazard's going.
Cotton Moya, I think, will get drafted.
Oh, really? Three.
Well, okay. I think he has a chance to get drafted. I'll put it that way.
When was the last time Iowa State would have had three players drafted in the draft? Testing your trivia here. Leibs just showed up like a real asshole. He's saying zero.
It's happened before, but it's been a long time ago.
Screw you, Hawks. Get the hell out of here, man.
It's been a long time. Because even like that Klein. So I'm Osimile, Hayworth Hicks, I think, went to the Colts, or was he a signee? I don't know. It's been a long time.
Okay. Maybe this year.
It's certainly happened before, but it's been a long. It was back in the McCartney era. That's all I know.
We'll see. So,
all right, good podcast today.
All right, we'll schedule ghost hunting coming up. Some
I'll get a hold of Villisca Johnny and see what
Villisca
I can get.
Johnny, we're gonna have
to take a generator though, because they don't have power in the Axe Murder House.
We can do that sometime in the next couple of months. We'll have a Campbell appearance on this.
That'll happen. He's all locked and loaded, man. He'll probably be wearing a freaking Baker Mayfield Browns jersey while we do it. But
do you think it would be I talk to him about this particular delicacy up in Ames? Would it be nice of me to bring him a Chris Meat burrito to the office and say, hey, just give this a whirl now or later?
I'm sure he'd be fine with that. He is a loyal listener.
Yeah.
So he's
hearing this?
Probably. At some point he will. And he knows what the show's all about.
Okay.
So, like, I don't think you showing up with the burrito would surprise him, is what I'm saying.
Okay. And we are going to get to the bottom. Once and for all, finally, did he get the gifts on the day that he arrived? That's going to be the first question that's asked that day.
We'll get all this lined up.
All right.
Have a great weekend, guys.